Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading from the 23rd chapter and reading from verse 32 to verse 49. So it's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we'll begin reading from verse 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we'll begin reading this evening from verse 32, where we read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar or sour wine, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, this is the night you died. This is the night you vanquished death. So even this evening, as our brother has already prayed, I pray, Father, that all of us here who are gathered in this house tonight could set aside the foolish things of this world and the foolishness of our pride and all of our inconsistencies. And Father, we could hear your word. So Father, come to us tonight by your Spirit and minister this gospel to these people, so that Father, all of us together would rejoice in our salvation. We would understand what was done on our behalf. So glorify your name in our presence tonight and sanctify us in the truth. For your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. The songwriters perhaps say it best of all. O behold the man of sorrows. O behold the man in plain view. And another songwriter says, behold the man upon a cross. His sin upon my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. This is Good Friday, or as the Finns call it, Long Friday, correct? It's Long Friday. And why, you know, this is one of the toughest nights for me to preach. I have struggled with preaching on this night, and tonight is no different. And sometimes I become quite angry in my spirit at the foolishness of this world and the foolishness of people who walk by this event and act like it's nothing. This man who comes here into this world, this man who we know as our God, enters into this world and deals with a people who simply mock him, who deride him, who follow the whims and the passions of the people around them, like Pilate, who could not even stand upon his own two feet, but was persuaded by the people to do that which he knew was wrong. And I become ticked off. Because I can't deal with it. I can't deal with people somehow looking at this event like it's some simple little thing in the span of history, like it's some soldier or general that we read about in the history books of this world and simply write it off. He was just another good man in the span of history. This was the Son of God. And he at any point, as he faced the persecution of his own people, could have turned and called 12 legions of angels and destroyed all of them. And he could do the same today. He could look upon us in our foolishness and our sinfulness and simply strike us off the face of this earth. Because why should he deal with people who simply don't know how to fear him, who don't know how to honor and praise him, who go about in their foolishness and somehow try to understand God? And in all of my fury and in all of my rage, when I want to simply grab people by the scruff of their neck in my human flesh and shake them, and say, don't you understand what has been done for you? Why are you running off after the things of this world and this life? Don't you understand who this is? But it doesn't work. I could go running up into the balcony right now and wring the neck of the boys who want to mess around, right? But a whole lot of good that would do. I could pick out somebody in this audience who I decide is not listening well enough and jump down from this pulpit, walk up in front of them because I have a cordless mic and begin to shout into their face, don't you understand what is going on here in this text tonight? Don't you understand? How dare you not listen to this message? But that's just me. That's not the Son of God. The Son of God suffers the derision. of his people. And he doesn't rise up and smite them. He doesn't do what I feel sometimes within my own humanness, what I would like to do to people who simply ignore this message or who scoff at it. I would like to rise up, as I already mentioned to you, according to the flesh, and show them just how true this is. Instead, I simply come to them with the word. Jesus was crucified with criminals. This man who is the Son of God, who is the Lamb of God, who will take and has taken away the sin of the world, is crucified and killed with criminals. With people who are just like I'm talking about. Who would rise up and say, hey, who's trying to take us over? Give me a few guns and a few good men and we'll go take them out. Because that's what these men were who were being crucified with him. They were insurrectionists. They were people who rose up in rebellion against Rome. And because of their rebellion against Rome, they were being crucified and put to death. They deserved what they were getting. But not Christ. They brought him to Calvary. They brought him to the place of the skull. And there they put him to death. There they crucified him. And Jesus does not rise up in anger. He does not fly off the handle. And by the arm of the flesh or by the voice of his command, call down these 12 legions of angels and destroy all of those wicked people. Instead, he says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. You see, as a follower of Jesus Christ and as his child, when I begin to view this world and I begin to view it through the eyes of my crucified and risen Lord Jesus, suddenly my view changes and my heart begins to soften. And no longer do I feel the urge to go pummel them with the truth. But rather, I say it along with the words of Christ, Father, forgive them. They don't understand their foolishness. Their eyes are blinded to the truth. So, Father, help me in some way to open the word, the gospel message onto them so that they might understand what took place on Good Friday. That they might understand that when you entered into this world, you entered into this world to die. And not just to die, but to die for those people who are... I'll soften it a little bit. I won't say the word that was about to come out of my mouth. Who are foolish. Don't you ever feel that way? Everything that I've been discussing and talking about in this message, don't you ever feel that way according to your flesh? Like, it's enough's enough. I'm sick of church division. I'm sick of people camping out in a certain building and saying that this is what saves you. I'm sick of all of that. Why can't they simply understand the truth of the message of the Word of God? Why do they hang on to their religion or their church or whatever it is? Why are they so blinded by all of this? And I think God looks down from heaven upon all of this foolishness and says, Jesus looks over at the Father and says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. And so it's by the Holy Spirit of God as He begins to minister through words like this tonight, through this simple message that comes forth out of the Gospel of Luke, proclaiming to you and to me that our God comes into this world in the person of Jesus Christ to die. He comes to taste death for you. The Hebrew writer says, He comes to taste death for you in order to absorb its power. So that when you enter into the realm of death, death itself has no power or dominion over you. You can enter freely into that, knowing full well that what Christ has done on the cross has redeemed you. This is the most important night in all of the span of history. Nothing compares to it. George Washington and the Revolution, all of the various things that we may honor in our society are meaningless compared to this night. Because on this night, the Son of God died. And when He died, He changed the history as we know it. In fact, He brought the old world to an end. And a new one arose with Him on Easter morning. It is to this man that now your eyes are to be drawn. Behold the man upon the cross. Any other place where you look in this world or in your imagination, it's simply going to bring you to the end of yourself and to death. But this man brings you onto life. He brings you to a reality that is the true reality for those who are the followers of Christ. Actually, for the entirety of this world. Which is what you and I need to understand, which is why this night is so important. That you again, with me, would behold the man upon the cross. My sin, your sin, upon His shoulders. And sad to say, I hear my voice with the mockers. Because according to the flesh, I am standing there right there saying the same exact thing as the soldiers and the leaders. He said He was the Son of God. If He's the Son of God, come down from the cross. Actually show us that You're that. Because that's how foolish we are. According to our humanity, we think that that would somehow be the right way to do things, wouldn't it? But God has to die? Yes. God has to die. In order that you and I don't have to. He had to shed His blood on this cross, on this cruel Roman instrument of death. He had to shed His blood there to the final drop. In fact, the soldier runs a sword into His side in order to make sure that He was dead. So that blood could be spilled and applied to the heart of the people of this world. And it is that blood now, as it is applied to my own heart, my own angry heart, that actually softens me to have compassion for this world. Religious people are just simply angry. And that's the fact. If you don't abide by what they say and what they do, then they will kill you. So Jesus comes and they kill Him. And this is what God wanted all along. So that your heart and my heart would begin to change as we view this world. And no longer do we simply look at this world out of our anger and out of our fury and out of our religious fervor. But we would begin to see them through the eyes of our God, who describes himself to Moses as a merciful and a compassionate God whose mercies never end and they're new every morning. The soldiers mock him. And over his head is written an inscription. There's a plaque over the top of his head written in Greek and in Hebrew and in Latin so that everybody could read it. This is the King of the Jews. That was his accusation. This is the King of the Jews. He's an imposter. He's a fake. He's not the real deal. That's what this sign was trying to say. But you and I know better. This is, in fact, the King of the Jews. This is their Messiah. This is the one who has come into the world, the one who has been promised all the way through the Old Testament scriptures. This is the one. And it's testified of. You can read of it in Psalms and in Isaiah and in Proverbs. And Jesus himself, after he rose from the dead, would tell his disciples on the road to Emmaus, a little later on, he would say, the scriptures speak of me. And you see, our wisdom is flipped on its nose. We think that God must come in such a way as to conquer all our enemies and kill them. And instead, he comes into this world to save them. The very soldiers who were carrying out the crucifixion, who were driving the nails into his hands and into his feet, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." How can someone do that? Could you do that? If all of us were to gang up on one of you tonight and pin you down and begin to torture you in some fashion, would you just say, "Oh, this is, Father, forgive them"? Probably not. Most likely, I remember one time, share a little experience I had. My buddies decided they wanted to try to tie me up. And I fought as hard as I possibly could in order for them not to do it. And it took quite a few of them to finally get me tied up. Not that I'm so strong, but you're amazing. You'd be amazed what you can do when you're under pressure. Because that's the human reaction. And this was the Son of God. The Son of God simply hangs there on the cross. Because as he looks down from that cross, he sees a pile of people that he loves. And as he looks across this world at all of the various types of people in this world, he sees them as people that he loves and that he died for. We're all the same people. We all have one father Adam and one mother Eve. We all come from the same descendants. It doesn't matter about nationality, color of skin, any of that stuff. We are all the same. Christ came to die for all of us in order that we might live. The two thieves on the cross, as they're referred to here, they're malefactors. One of them says the same thing. He mocks Jesus. If you're the Christ, come on down from there. But the other one understands. And you see, this is really the deal for us. You see, I might want to rise up in anger and begin to somehow berate people with the gospel or the word of God and try to convince them according to my own wisdom or power or whatever else it might be. But I have to understand that it is solely the work of God. And so therefore, I go out and I preach in a congregation such as this or in Washington or wherever I'm called to preach, and I simply preach the word to everyone that's there, knowing that God will speak to some of those people through the word. And ideally to all of them. The one malefactor says, "Don't you understand? This man is dying here and he has done nothing wrong. We're getting what we deserve." And he recognizes who Christ is. Because he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Because this is a king. This is a king dying on a cross. But this is no mere king like we might know kings. This is the king of the entire universe and world. And his kingdom is over the top of every other kingdom that has ever existed or will ever exist in this world. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And I love what Jesus says. Because what does he say? "I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view. And I can't remember the rest of the song. I was looking for it. As I was desperately looking through the hymnal just before I had to come up here to preach, trying to find the lyrics. But perhaps you know the rest of them. There he is, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, nailed to the cross for foolish human beings who simply go about in their selfishness, simply looking at what they want, what they think they need, and having no idea what they're doing until God, by the power of his Holy Spirit and through his word, begins to penetrate into that heart and they begin to have wisdom. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Because this is why this king has come. Not to set up a kingdom here in this world and to receive the praise of men in that fashion, but to save this world, to save murderers, malefactors, liars, cheaters, sinners. Sinners like you and I who live here in this world today. He came to save us, to pluck us like brands from the fire, who basically had no breath left in them, who were simply coming to their end and to be cast off into hell. He has come to save. So I tell you again this evening, behold the man upon the cross. By the eyes of faith this evening, behold the man upon the cross. Look at him. Don't lower your eyes. Look at him. And see what he is going through. Not that you would have pity on him, but you would realize that what he goes through is for you. It is for you. He dies there because of your foolishness, because of your sinfulness, because of your errors, because of your inability to do what is right. He dies there in order that he may rescue you from that and bring you onto a new way of living, the way that we call the way of life. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that. We should celebrate it with all of our being on Resurrection Sunday when we stand up, when I stand up here, but maybe we should all be standing and simply shout at the top of our voices in praise to our God, because he was willing to come into this world and die for us. He came here to die. One pastor, maybe I shared this with you before, but one pastor, his congregation wasn't too impressed, but this is what he did. He got there early to the service. He put black over the altar and over the pulpit, and I think he might even put black on the windows. And he got up and he read the text, one of the stories out of the Gospels of the crucifixion, and he said, "We killed him," and he got down from the pulpit and left. Needless to say, his congregation was quite appalled. But that's the reality. That's the reality, my friends, tonight. That's why you are here. Not to be wowed by a sermon or by a speaker, as if that were possible, but rather to have your eyes again looking where they should be looking. On the cross. Behold the man upon the cross. My sin. Not anybody else's. I mean, it's all there too. But I must see this for myself. My sin. And each one of you tonight is saying the same thing in your mind. Behold the man upon the cross. My sin upon his shoulders. And Jesus dies. In fact, creation itself goes dark in the middle of the day. It tells us this from the sixth into the ninth hour, there was a darkness that went over the entirety of the earth. It was not an eclipse. Creation itself was shuddering at the fact that God was dying. And Jesus cries with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And saying this, he gives up the ghost. He dies. And this should make us sad. There is no other death in any of our lives that should bring us to more sorrow than this death. Because it's my fault. It's my fault. It's because of my rebellious heart. Because of my sinfulness. It's because what I've committed that God would suffer this. The centurion immediately recognizes that this is the Son of God. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man," because he witnessed what took place when God died. The veil of the temple was rent in two. The place that was covered by this heavy, heavy curtain, which protected people from ever going into the presence of the Most High God, where God dwelt, was ripped open. Because death The death of the Son of God had brought justification and life to a human race that was dead and on its way to hell. Suddenly, everything has changed. Certainly, this was a righteous man. The people who were there beholding smote their breasts, which is a sign of anguish or repentance or sorrow even, where they would smote their chest, and they left from that place realizing something here took place here and not understanding what it was exactly. And the women were there as well. Jesus loved the woman. He loves everyone, but it's such an important thing to notice in this text as we come to a close. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. In this culture, the women were minimized, to say it nicely. And Jesus comes to put all of that aside. He loves you ladies every bit as much as he loves us men. Because he came to die for you too. And the sword would pierce Mary's heart as well, as she would come to the realization and the understanding that this man, her son, who was dying on the cross, is her Savior and her Lord and her God. You see, young people, if you have heard nothing else tonight, hear this. Behold the man upon the cross. Look at him. Look at him. For just a moment tonight, just pause and look at this man on the cross. He's there for you. He's there for you. He knows everything that you've done. He knows your sinfulness. He knows your life. He knows the things that you struggle with and are struggling with at this moment. And so he was nailed to the cross willingly in order to simply rescue you from that. Look at him. Because this man is bringing you new life. This man took your sin, every bit of it, all of your ugliness that you have experienced in this life, all of it he has taken upon himself. And he has shed his blood in sacrifice so that you can appear one day in the heavenly throne room and enter into the presence of God and even at this moment come boldly onto the throne of grace because you understand what God has done for you. I actually have the lyrics for that song here that I've been quoting from quite often. It's called How Deep the Father's Love. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss the father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know, with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom. You see, guys, I love you. And I want you to get this. I have no desire to come over there and beat anybody up. I deal with anger. I deal with all of the things of this life because I'm a sinner. And so this night is especially meaningful to me. As hard as it is for me to preach, although it's getting late, but it's meaningful because I understand that this man changed my life and gave me the ability to love you in spite of who you are. And even better than that, you can love me in spite of who I am. Because this God has loved us first and has given us salvation. Show up on Easter. Show up on Easter. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you were willing to die for wretches like us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, Father, that is my prayer for these people who have gathered here tonight, that their eyes would be opened, that, Father, they would see you. They would see you for who you are, the bleeding, dying Savior who loves us so tremendously that he is willing to die this death. So, Father, show yourself to us. Reveal yourself to each and every one. And give us, Father, the wisdom and the ability to follow you all the days of our life and to walk even as Paul instructed us, that great letter writer. Father, he instructed us to walk in newness of life. So we ask, Father, that you would do that for us tonight. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.